Marlene. He also sees the good, doesn't he? He sees the fact that this morning we are gathered together in the house of the Lord, that we've come together to make melody in our hearts, to sing and make melody in our heart according to Ephesians 5:19. To pray, Luke 18:1, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, man talks about this. Man ought always to pray and not lose heart. And then the 1 Thessalonians 5:17, those three words, pray without ceasing. So when we look at these passages of Scripture, we can see that God must be pleased. And then we're giving back as we've been prospered. We're praying, we are preaching, we are teaching, we are encouraging. We're doing what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another in so much way as you see that day approaching, that exhortation, lifting each other up, all in the name of God. Amen? Y'all agree with that today? So he sees these good things that are taking place. He sees the condition of our heart when we walked into that door today. God hears our prayers. He sees our walking testimony every single day. He hears all the things that we say and all the things that we do. And ultimately, let me tell you this, God loves us, doesn't he? God loves his people. So I want to remind you today that God watches, that God chooses, that God provides, and God guides. So let me give you some points very quickly as we get into this lesson. The first point I want us to examine today, as we get into this passage, you can go ahead if you want to and head to Psalm chapter 23, very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23, all six of those verses. But here's your first point. The first point is this, God is carefully watching, okay? God is carefully watching over you and me. I cannot think of anything more comforting than the promise that we are given from the Lord that God is watching over his flock. Do you like that? God is watching over his people. But now there's a condition to that. When we look at this first part, and the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what? That's not necessarily true for everyone. Some would say, well, Jerry, are you disputing what the Scripture says? Absolutely not. But one of the conditions for this is that you have to choose God. Amen? You've got to choose God to be that shepherd. Not everyone has chosen the Lord. Some people in this world today, sadly some in my own family, has chosen to try to find their God, small g, outside of the body of Christ, outside of the church that was established on the day of Pentecost. But when the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, buddy, I believe it 1,000,000%. But that's when we choose the Lord to be our shepherd. He's already chosen you and me, has he not? How do we know that? John 3:16 tells us that. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his, that whosoever believes in him should not, but have. Romans 5:8. You remember that one? We're going to see it again in a moment. But God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet, what happened? Very good. Christ died, and he died for you and me. So those provisions have already taken place. God has already provided as he's watching over you and me. I can't think of anything more comforting than the promise that God gives us in this passage. Are y'all ready? Psalm 23, 1 through 6. The Bible says, the Lord is my what? And I shall not want. Go with me to 2. He, talking about God, makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. I love this passage. He restores my soul. Do you think our souls ever need to be restored? Do you think that we need a revival in life sometimes? We need to be, revive us again, as the old song goes. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name, what? Sake. I love that passage. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The psalmist says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. What does the Bible say? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the Bible says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Finish it, congregation. The Bible says, forever. Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. Amen. The Lord has searched us, and he knows us. Folks, we better know that God knows you, and he knows me inside out. Nothing but nothing is hidden from God. He knows what your heart is full of. He knows that your heart is full of righteousness and love for God and his kingdom and his church and his people, or he knows it's full of iniquity, and he knows it's full of corruption and loyalty to the devil. But we better remember that we can't serve both God and mammon. Does everybody know about that? Head over to Matthew chapter 6, because I don't want you to say I said it. I want you to see what the Scripture says. In Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 24, the Bible tells us that no one, now this is Jesus speaking, and he says no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, and what will he do with the other? Or else, watch this, he'll be loyal to the one. The Scripture says you cannot serve God and mammon. You have to make for yourself today a choice. Do you agree with that? We've got to make a choice. Who and what am I going to follow? Am I going to follow after the righteousness of God? Why? Because God watches over me. He chooses me. He provides for me. And he guides me. So I'm choosing for myself this day to follow Almighty God. God is indeed watching over us, and he'll continue watching over us. I think about, or I can't help but to think about what the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 139. Let me go ahead over that direction. If you don't mind, you go over there too. 139, we're going to look at 1 through 4 and see what the Bible says regarding God watching over his people. He knows all and he sees all. Say that with me. He knows all and he sees all. So let's see this. Psalm 139, 1 through 4. The Bible says, O Lord, you have searched me and you what? You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my laying down. And watch this. And are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you all know it all together. God knows every single thing about us, doesn't he? So since God knows his children the way that he does, brothers and sisters, let me encourage you, each of us, to trust completely in God, because he's certainly watching over each and every one of us. Listen, remember this, that God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows us better than we know ourselves. We are his people. He chooses to watch over his children. He understands our weaknesses. He understands that we fall short. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen what? Of the glory of God. But he also had to put in that same part three chapters later, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So I'm so thankful that he's watching over us today. He sees us fall short. He's not pleased with that, but he has made a provision for that when he sent his only begotten son to die in your place and mine. So remember that first point. We know that God what? Watches. Man, we got to start all over. God watches his people. A few people panic for a minute. Is everybody going to start over? And all right, so let's move on. Huh? That's right. Carefully watching them. Like, good job, Larry. Larry's like, please don't start. The second point that I want us to examine today as we're talking about God watches, chooses, provides, and guides, I want you to know that God also chooses the best path for us all, doesn't he? God chooses the best path for us all if we trust in him. We all know as Christians that the Lord chooses the best path for you and for me. However, sometimes we might look around and maybe have some serious doubt that we're even on the right path. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves on the wrong path. You agree with that? And we need to understand God did not put us on that path. We have to understand when we make those decisions, if we make a decision to get totally blitzed and drunk and we load ourselves up with alcohol and we're out here and we kill somebody under a DUI or we get ourselves in trouble or we get somebody else in trouble, don't you holler that God put you on that path. He did not put you on that path. You put yourself on that path. Isn't that right? If you go out here and you steal from your employer fires you for doing that. He did not put you on that path. You put yourself on that path. If you go out here and you find yourself in an adulterous relationship somewhere, you lose your marriage, you lose respect of your family and friends, don't you dare think for one second that God put you on that path. You put yourself on that path. But let me share this with you, brothers and sisters. God will deliver you from that if we choose to follow him. Do you know that? There is only one unforgivable sin, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. No matter what you've done in the past, doesn't have to dictate your future with God. But let me tell you something. Know and understand that he, God, will choose the right path for you. He will choose the right exit from whatever iniquity you're involved in if you will just allow it. Maybe today we're on a path of suffering. Maybe it's an illness. Perhaps the loss of a loved one. Maybe you've been treated unfair. The arena of unfairness. Maybe there's a financial hardship that has hit your family. Perhaps it's just loneliness. Maybe it's homelessness. Maybe it's a job loss. Perhaps a changed friendship. A friendship that you thought would be around forever and ever. Amen. And now that has went away. It's been like a vapor. It's gone. Things that would and could make us wonder if we're on the right path at all. Listen to me. It's times like this, brothers and sisters, during these storms of life and these difficulties, that we need to remember the words of that great psalmist, Psalm 119. Let me head back that way. Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verse 71. Is that okay with everybody? So 119, verse 71. The scripture says, "It is good for me that I have been what? That I may," I love this, "that I may learn your statutes." That I may learn your law. That I may learn your way. So you see right here, even going through this hardship, even going through this difficulty, it is good for me that I've had that. It is good for me that this has taken place. Why? Because it causes me to place my dependence on you, God. It causes me to lean upon your ever-loving, everlasting arm. I'm afraid today that so many of us think that we can handle our situations, that we can handle whatever adversities we are facing. We hear people say such things as, you know, "I'll do this and I'll do that, and maybe I'll try this and I'll try that." All we have to do is put God on in our lives. Amen. It may not come out exactly the way we want it, but I'm going to remind you of this. God chooses the right path for His people. Say that with me. God chooses the right path for His people. Even when times are difficult, even when times are challenging, God's plan, I promise you, is still good. I promise you that God has never failed anyone. Never has He failed anyone. Things might seem a little bit bleak. Things might seem a little bit unfair at times, but our God loves us and He'll never forsake us. Since you're over in the book of Psalms, let's just go back to Psalm chapter 94. Psalm chapter 94. Let's look together at verses 12 through 14. Psalm 94, 12 through 14. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of" what? Adversity. From the days of trouble, from the days of sorrow, from the days of difficulty, until the pit is dug for the wicked. Go to 14. "For the Lord will not cast off his people." Now watch this. "Nor will he forsake his inheritance." I love what God is telling us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And what does God tell us here? He loves us, doesn't he? So I want us to remember that God chooses that right path for you and for me. He chooses the right path, but we have to trust him. The Lord chooses experiences that you and I face so that it may work out for the very purpose of God, making us more like him, making us more like his son, not ever elevating ourselves to the level of Christ, but doing what the scriptures call us to do, and that is to emulate Christ, to walk in his steps, to follow that example. Listen, God seriously chooses the right path for us, but we have to trust him. The question isn't whether he's got us on the right path or not, but rather, will you trust him in that valley of despair? When you're in that valley of despair, will you trust him as much as when you're on the mountaintop of success? When you're in the air and you start having turbulence, will you trust him then like you do when everything is hunky-dory? We've said this so many times from behind this piece of wood up here. When 9/11 hit, this building was full. I was preaching with the College Grove congregation at that time, and I remember the building, seriously speaking, filled up. They brought those folding chairs. Dana, you remember that. They brought folding chairs from the annex building behind it to accommodate the people. And man, was it as sad as 9/11 was, it was joyous to see the people turning their lives over to Christ. And then shortly after the dust settled, shortly after the emotions had ceased and the tears had stopped, how quickly people turned away from the Lord. He chose them a perfect path away from all the iniquity that was going on. Brought them together in the Lord's house. Oh, they loved that path for a while. But then, once again, when the emotions settled, the atmosphere changed, the dust was gone, how quickly many of them went right back out into the world. It's sad, isn't it, brothers and sisters? that it takes that. It's sad that so many people are leaning on things like that. We've got to remember, trust God in good times and bad. Love God in season and out of season. No matter how difficult it becomes, darling, I want us all to remember, Esther, what the Bible says in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through who strengthens me. God chooses the right path for His people. Trust Him, serve Him, love Him in all of life's circumstances. The third point. First of all, we saw that God watches, carefully watches His people. Is that right, Brother Larry? Carefully watches His people. Secondly, we know that He chooses the best path. Number three, God provides. Are you ready? God provides everything we need to follow Him. Not necessarily everything we want, but everything that we need. We've looked many times at the passage of Scripture found in Matthew 6:33. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and His, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Listen to me. God will provide all that we need in order to follow Him. God does not call us, listen to me, God doesn't call us to follow Him and then make it impossible to follow Him. That's just not who God is. God says, follow me, and He shows us how. He tells us in Luke 9:23 that we are to take up our cross, doesn't He? And follow Him how often? Every single day. If you desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's what Jesus told his disciples over in Luke 9, around verse 23. God provides. He provides what's needed to follow him. And he also makes that path passable for you and me. I love what Christ Jesus does. He illuminates the path of life, doesn't he? He gives light to the dark, doesn't he? He gives life to the dead. And we are dead in sin if we're not in God. But he gives life to the dead, and he gives light to the path. Will you go with me to Psalm 119? Look at 105. The Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet. And matter of fact, it's a light unto my what? Path, the scripture says. Then down, staying in the same chapter, go down to verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding even to who? The simple, people like me. The Lord himself, he provides. He gives strength to the weary. Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, God above, not only gives strength to the weary, but he gives hope to the discouraged, doesn't he? And we can all become discouraged from time to time. He also gives comfort in loneliness. He gives wisdom when we lack understanding. Listen, there is no other manual or decree that can provide what God's Word provides for you and me. God provides his Word. And I'm so thankful for that. He provides us with the avenue of prayer. We should be so thankful for that. He allows us his word, the Bible, so readily available. He provides us with the great fellowship when we walk in the light as his in the light that we looked at a while ago in 1 John 1:7. God certainly does provide. Do you agree with that? He provides. God's grace is sufficient. His holy word is sufficient. God's divine power is sufficient. For every need in every situation, once again, God does provide. The fourth and final point in this lesson goes home with you. Remember, God carefully watches, God chooses, God provides, and this is the last one, God guides, doesn't he? He guides us in the direction in which we should go. Now, this is a list, but not limited to this list, of what God does for his people. One of the many blessings that we as Christians have is the fact that God is willing and able to guide you and me with his soul-saving word. We don't have to guess. We don't have to second guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to worry what God is telling us or what we have to do. We have it available in his word. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so glad that he guides us with his holy word. God is willing to guide us as he sends us in the right direction if we all heed to those divine instructions found in his word. He will send you and me. He will send us and he will guide us into that beautiful place called heaven. The key to following God is a certain possession that we must have in life, Esther. The key to following God is possessing a humble spirit, isn't it? Y'all agree with that? We've got to have a humble spirit. Do we have to have a teachable spirit? We have to be able to be taught, don't we? Do you agree with that? If we are so stubborn that we can't be taught, boys and girls, we are in trouble. We've got to have a teachable spirit that is willing to submit to God at every stage of our journey. Remember, God alone knows the path that we are on. He assures you and me that He will never leave us and that He will never forsake us. He's never going to leave us in that valley as long as we trust in Him and are faithfully obedient unto Him. Being faithfully obedient, Ma tells us what John 14:15 says. Anybody remember that? If you keep, very good, Heather. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I'm commanding you to do. Who in here wants to be a friend of Jesus? I do. Who in here wants to go to heaven? I do. Who in here believes and is thoroughly convinced that God carefully watches His people, chooses, provides, and guides for His people? And I know that God guides because we can see it all throughout the Bible. God guided Joseph, didn't He? When he went through all that he endured, didn't He guide him? God guided Peter. Even after Peter denied Jesus, didn't He still guide him and help him? God guided Jonah. After Jonah tried to flee his responsibility of going out and preaching and crying out to Nineveh, he fled his responsibility, but did God still guide him? Did He guide Noah in the building of the ark? Did God guide Gideon when the Lord reduced the number of people, the number of soldiers in His army? Didn't He still guide him? Wasn't he still successful? Yes or no? Didn't He guide Daniel when Daniel was put into the lion's den? Didn't He guide Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they was taken to that furnace? Didn't He guide them? God will guide and protect you and me as well. God has delivered, and He has guided so many others, and He will guide you and me also if we only allow Him. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, down in verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is a promise given to us by our Heavenly Father. This is from God, Brother Larry. So we need not stress over that. Let's go back to the book of Psalm, chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. Let me show you verses 17 through 19. Psalm 34. 17 through 19. "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their trouble." Go to 18. "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such that has a what kind of spirit?" 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all, every last one." God takes care of His people. Are we in agreement with that? Psalm chapter 48, verse 14. You can think about that passage of Scripture and see the promise of God being our God, and guide. "For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide," the Bible says, "even unto" what? "Death." So this morning, please remember as we conclude our lesson that God certainly does love you. He loves me. God carefully watches over us. He chooses the right path for us to escape from, and the right path to go. He provides the things needed for you and me to follow Him, to be evangelistic, to fulfill the Great Commission, to do what God is calling us to do, and to love Him completely. He provides that, and He guides us to that beautiful promised place called heaven. And He guides us with His Word. Once again, I know that we haven't been able to cover everything that we could talk about, but I've given you enough that you can take it home and take a gander at it. You agree with that? We can know that God is watching over us. But let me close with this. God loves you. God loves me in spite of our imperfections, doesn't He? And He has made that provision for us, sent Jesus to die for you and for me. John 3:16, Romans 5:8. This morning, do you accept God's care for your soul? Do you accept God's providential care for your life? This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, I encourage you in the light of the Scriptures to become one by hearing God's Word, having a desire to want to go to heaven, a desire to live a life closer to Jesus Christ. Continue to hear His Word. Believe. Believe in the Scriptures. They're inspired of God. Believe that Jesus Christ left the beauty, comfort, splendor of heaven to come to this earth, to walk just like what you and I walk, to be tempted, to be threatened, to be mocked, to go through all these different things that you know, some of the same things that we've been through. But Jesus went through a lot worse than that. But Jesus tells us that we are to repent, to change the way that we're living, to start living for Jesus Christ, to believe that Jesus was put to death, buried in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, But on the third day, we know that Jesus, He rose again, didn't He? Now He sits at the right hand of the Father. He's an intercession for you and me. He's pleading our case to His Heavenly Father. We are to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins upon that confession of faith, making sure that we repent. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, neighbor, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The Bible tells us to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. We don't do it as an outward act. We don't do it as a ceremonial act. We're not doing it theatrical. We're doing it because we love God. We want the forgiveness of our sins, and we want to go to that promised place called heaven. Live faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I, Jesus Christ, will give you the crown of life. And then always remember Matthew 28:18-20. We are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you are a Christian, but you realize that difficulties have come about, winds of controversy have blown your way. It's blown you off the path that you know you need to be on. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. Don't be ashamed of that. Be ashamed if you don't do anything about it. Today's the day that you can get all things right. All things can be made right in God's sight today. If you need anything, anything at all, you're welcome to come right now. As together we stand and we sing.